Good morning. This morning's first scripture reading is from the book of Job, chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, located on page 487 of your Bible. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Ask the plants of the earth, and they will teach you, and the fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing, and the breath of every human being. Please join me in the gathering prayer. Creating God, your word caused the waters to be filled with many kinds of living beings, and the air to be filled with birds. With those who live everywhere in this world, we rejoice in the richness of your creation, and we pray for your wisdom for all who live on this earth, and that we may treat with respect all creatures you have made. We especially thank you for those creatures who become loving companions to us. Remind us that we live in a world where everything is in dynamic relationship with everything else. You, God, are the creating, transforming power of life. Amen. Creator God, on this day, we come together with joys in our hearts. We are surrounded by the animals we love. On this day, we celebrate the common good of all creation. We honor our beloved animals that enrich our lives. We bring to you our animal companions and our shared lives together. We acknowledge the sacred importance of all living creatures. We are the guardians and caretakers of our animal friends. We care for them, they care for us. We come in joy for these creatures who we love. We come also remembering those who are no longer with us. We come in love and in loss. Bless these four-legged, furry, and feathered friends, for we have all been created by you. Bless us together as we are all connected. When one suffers, we all suffer together. When one is joyful, we are all joyful together. We come in thanks to our Creator. Please, the next Bible reading is the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, on page 1038 of your Bible. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification. threw me off there. Where am I at here? Oh. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this in the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And they remained there a few days.
Ray, you seemed a little distracted there. That's okay. I told Cliff, I think, and maybe Michael, that this sermon could be either 1 minute long or 15 minutes long. It's a very simple point, and it just takes a little bit of time, however short or long, to get to it. So depending on how the adults behave, this might seem like an odd choice of scripture to use this morning, and that is the famous story of Jesus turning the water into wine in the wedding story in the Gospel of John chapter 2. But it is a story about transformation. People get so caught up in the miracle itself and wondering, well, how can you change water into wine and how does that happen? And so people tend to get fixated on the literal way of translating or understanding this great story. But what it is, it's the first story in the Gospel of John where Jesus does something, and even here he doesn't really do anything. He is at a wedding. His mom is there. His disciples are there. It's a whole village thing. Everybody knows everybody. And for a wedding, it's a social display of how well your family is doing in the community. So people stay for a long time to put on a wedding, and it normally lasts for several days. There's a lot of food. There's a lot of drink. People probably drink too much. They probably dance. You know, it's just a party. There's Jesus, and he's probably involved in the whole thing. And then, lo and behold, in the middle of this great party, of course, they run out of wine, which is a potential disaster for the family that is putting on this wedding. And so, like any mom would, she comes to Jesus, and she says, "Do something, Jesus." And of course, he gives a smart aleck answer back to her. You know, who are you to tell me what to do? Essentially, is what he says. And of course, then he instructs the servants to fill the water jars with water, and they do that. And then he invites the wine steward to go over and to taste the wine. Of course, he does, and it's great wine. And he wonders how the family had saved the best wine for last. And of course, we as the reader know, and the servants who filled the jugs know, nobody else knows that the water had been turned into wine. And that's all there is to it. And of course, the disciples notice this, and they are in great awe of this man, which is just the gospel writer telling us how we should react to this story. Now, this is the first story in the Gospel of John. It's a very small story. Jesus does very little in this story. But if we understand the story of Jesus turning the water into wine, we notice that throughout the Gospel, as the Gospel of John goes on and on, the dynamics of that story get larger and larger until by the time we get to the resurrection story, we understand that that is an act of transformation by God. And so understanding this little story at the very beginning of the gospel is very, very important because it holds the key. And the point is that God is the power of transformation in life. That's all it is. God is not interested in just human beings. God is not interested in just the earth. God is interested in all of creation. For some reason, we human beings think that we are something special, and in many ways we are. But that does not mean that everything else is not special. That means that God has created all of the earth, and God has left us as caretakers of this earth, as stewards. Now, if you gave your money to someone to take care of it and invest it, that's what a steward is. If you turn your house over to somebody to take care of it while you're gone, that's a steward. If you hire somebody to watch over your business, that's a steward. And so when God says that here's creation, and he says this to human beings here, you are stewards, and that means that you act on my behalf. And so that's what we are as stewards, not only of our own lives, not only of the people and the pets that we're responsible for, but all of creation as well. So this morning, at the end of creation season, by inviting your pets into this sanctuary, we are making the statement that we do recognize that God loves all of creation, and it is our responsibility to take care of that creation to the best of our abilities. And that does not mean to ruin it, of course, obviously. That means to care for it in such a way that it thrives. And that's what a steward is. You give your money to somebody to invest, you want your money to thrive, right? If you give your farmland to somebody to farm on your behalf, you want things to grow well. You want it to be well attended. And so for us as human beings, God wants us not only to do well for our own lives and the lives of the ones we love, but God wants creation to thrive and to do well. And so here we are this morning with our pets, with one another, in this sanctuary, not only saying the words that we love creation and will care for it, but by demonstrating that act, by blessing animals. And you might notice that the title of this service is Blessing of Animals. We didn't put Blessing of the Animals because we didn't want to objectify animals. We are part of that. Blessing of Animals as all of us together. So thank you all for coming this morning and having your pets blessed. And what we're going to do now is we're just going to take our time. Now, Michael Lewis, Reverend Michael Lewis, will be on this side, and I will be on this side over here. And just bring your pet down the center aisle. We'll spend a little time with you. I think Janine Arp is going to take a few pictures along the way, and maybe you can get some pictures of you and your pet being blessed after the service today. So we're just going to take our time. AJ is going to sing a song. Cliff is going to noodle at the piano, and as he does so well. And so now let us invoke a blessing upon our pets, our beloved creatures, as we engage in blessing of animals. And you can come whenever you're ready. Please come.
I'd like to invite the congregation to join in the litany of love. For animals that we are responsible for day to day, our loving companion animals, we say, we are blessed by your presence and we bless you. For the animals that have graced our lives in the past, whose absence we grieve, and for those we are most grateful, we are blessed by your presence and we bless you. For the animals that live in urban and suburban areas, who we see day to day in our neighborhoods, from the spider to the crow, from the feral cats to the coyotes, we say, we are blessed by your presence and we bless you. For the animals that are lost or in shelters or confined against their will, we say, we are blessed by your presence and we bless you. For the animals that live in zoos and animal parks, who bring a better understanding of the animal world to all who listen, we say, we are blessed by your presence and we bless you. For the animals we called wild, who live in their natural habitat, who we see rarely face to face or only in books and on film, whose habitat and lives may be endangered, we say, we are blessed by your presence and we bless you. For all animals and for each living creature fashioned by our loving God, who, when they looked in God's eyes, God said, it is good and it is very good. You are good. You are very good. We say, we are blessed by your presence and we bless you.
We have come this morning with our pets in our arms, on their leashes, in their traveling containers. We have come with the memory of beloved pets in our hearts. Pets are love and justice in this world. As we said once, the worst thing a pet might do is eat out of its brother or sister's dish. We so could learn to share our resources in that just and loving way. We are a family of the panting tongue and the wet, nuzzling nose. We are a family of the furry belly and the wagging tail, thumb, dew claw, fin, talon, hoof, and paw. We are God's family on this earth. It is our charge to be God's love in this world. May God bless you with the love of the Creator, the companionship of the Christ, and the comfort of the Spirit, now and always. And may we leave this place in peace. Amen.